Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now Baez waits for the 1-2, and it's on the way. And it's swung on and drilled in the air. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. And Baez watches it go way over the fence in left center. And the Cubs lead 10-0.
Welcome back in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and broadcasting live from the Culinary Studio. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 10 o'clock, at which time Julie DeCaro takes over. I'm in for Joe Ostrowski here for the final hour of the program. Julie will actually be with us in about a half an hour or so. We'll talk to her about what's going on, see what's coming up on her show. Right now, we are going to talk about the Cubs. A good win, a needed win today as they salvage one at Coors Field in Colorado, a 10-1 win over the Rockies, featuring that home run, a late home run by Javier Baez to really, really, really put the game away, his 17th of the season. And now joining us to talk about said Cubs game is Jared Willis of Sporting News, covers the Cubs and Sox. What's going on, Jared?
I'm doing pretty well, Mark. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start talking about the Cubs, and specifically the day that Cole Hamels had 7 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts to 1 walk, and it follows up another brilliant performance, the 10 strikeout, 8 shutout innings against St. Louis from this past Friday. And before that, he had had a couple of poor starts. What are you seeing in Cole Hamels over his last couple starts that he's become straight up dominant?
Well, he's kind of pitching like he did in the second half of last season when they traded for him and brought him over, and he really played a major role in putting the Cubs in position to even have a shot at the division last year. So he's looking more like that guy again, really aggressive, pounding the strike zone. And that's why you see these strikeout totals so high. The walks are down. He's really capable of carrying that staff when he pitches like this. And so it's huge on a day like today after 2 tough losses to open this series against Colorado.
Yeah, and Hamels at this point, just looking through some of his numbers, 6-2, just the basics, his ERA under 3 now. He is at 2.98. So Hamels, yes, been terrific over his last 2 starts. Another guy who's been really good lately for the Cubs on the offensive side of the world is Kyle Schwarber, and his 3-run homer today, that was obviously the offense that the Cubs needed today. A 3-run blast in the second inning. He made it 5-0 at the time, his 14th homer of the year. Quietly, Jared, Schwarber hitting at the top of the order by default is working this time around. What have you seen from Kyle Schwarber that has been different lately? Because he's had a volatile season, been up and down.
Yeah, he's been such a nice surprise here lately, especially. And like you said, now this time at the top of the order, it's going so much differently than it did a couple seasons ago, when that was unquestionably a disaster when they tried using him as a leadoff hitter a couple of seasons ago. And then now and I think a lot of it is just with experience, with a lot of plate appearances, with a full year under his belt. He gets comfortable, knows himself as a hitter a little bit better, has a stronger sense for how pitchers are going to attack him, and so that when he goes up there first, he's better prepared and a better position to be successful with it. And the great thing about him is, even when he does hit poorly, I think he always has been good about giving a pretty quality at bat. He still draws a lot of walks. He finds ways to get on base, which is what you want in a leadoff hitter no matter what. So if he can continue like this, this is a heck of a find, so to speak, for Joe Maddon and the Cubs to be able to use Schwarber as their leadoff guy pretty consistently, because he also brings the potential to hit the ball over the fence to start a game, which is huge.
What do you think his ceiling is? Like, it's the million-dollar question, because we all thought he was going to be a star in 2015, and then what he did in even in the World Series in 2016, and then he dropped off considerably. Where do you think he tops out? Do you have any grasp on that?
That's a good question, because it's so tough to figure him out still. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way that he has come into the league, and the way that, you know, when he first came up, he was still kind of, he considered himself a catcher. And so as he's adjusting to major league pitching, he's also figuring himself out defensively. And then he basically gets the 2016 season wiped out because of his injury. And then two seasons ago, it was massive struggles at the plate, gets sent back to the minors. And so I honestly think that remains to be seen, because we're all still trying to figure out what exactly he is. I think that I still think the potential is huge offensively. You know, as an outfielder, I have tons of respect for the work that he's done to get better. I mean, he's improved so tremendously as an outfielder, but I mean, realistically, he's never necessarily going to be, you know, a top-tier defensive outfielder. But at the plate, like, there's such potential to be a powerful presence in the lineup, no matter where he bats, whether it's leadoff or anywhere else. But, yeah, I still think, for as long as he's been around, I still think we're kind of figuring out just what we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I have flip-flopped. I have gone back and forth on Schwarber, but he is that seductive of a baseball player. We're talking to Jared Willis of Sporting News, covers the Cubs and the White Sox. I'm Mark Rohde here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score, in for Joe Ostrowski. All right, so the upcoming series against the Dodgers is going to be really fun. A four-game series starting in L.A. tomorrow night, 9:10 here on 670, the Score. John Lester against Clayton Kershaw in the opener. How do you think, and I know we're going to kind of find out, how do you think the Cubs stack up against the Dodgers ultimately this year?
For as good as the Dodgers are, for as well as they've played, I mean, they're pretty much the best team in the National League so far right now. I still think the Cubs match up with them really well. The only thing that would concern me is with how poorly the Cubs have played on the road so far this season. I mean, their road games have really just been mostly a disaster. So if they continue with that trend, then this could be we could be in for a rough series in LA this weekend. But on paper, there's no reason to think that they can't go to Los Angeles and take three or four, because they can match up with the Dodgers, you know, position by position, no problem whatsoever.
This hour on the Score is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Let's switch a little bit to the White Sox. They're off today. They host the Yankees starting tomorrow night. Ivan Nova against J.A. Happ. All eyes, though, on the Friday night game, and that'll be Lucas Giolito against C.C. Sabathia. And Giolito right now 9-1 with a .228 earned run average. What have you seen in Giolito, and why he is succeeding to the end that he has this year?
Well, such a turnaround from that guy. It's incredible. And I saw today that in terms of wins above replacement, he has the second highest WAR among pitchers in baseball. He's behind only, I think it was, Max Scherzer.
Wow.
And so, you know, Lucas Giolito is in elite company right now as far as how well he's done so far this season. And I think for him, the difference comes down to a couple of things. I had the opportunity to talk to him about it a couple of weeks ago, and then wrote about it for Sporting News. But he talked first about the way that he shortened his arm action during the offseason. He put some time in to shorten up that arm action so that, as he described it, so that it reduced the opportunity for mistakes. Because the longer his arm action was, the more chances there were for something to go wrong in his delivery, which is why he struggled so much with walks and things like that over the last couple of seasons. So he did that. But also the other thing was just his mound presence. It helped a lot that it was James McCann who came over from Detroit. And McCann told me that one of the first times they met in spring training, he told Giolito, like, hey, man, you know, from the other side of the field, we could see it on your face when we had your number. We could see it, and you can't have that. Whether you're pitching well or terribly, we shouldn't be able to tell from your face. And so Giolito, I think, really took that to heart, and he's changed so much about his demeanor, too. And those two things together, I mean, the stuff has always been there. The talent's always been there. And for a guy like that, sometimes it's just a couple of minor things that really makes a big difference, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing from him this season.
Eloy Jimenez yesterday, 2-for-3, couple knocked in, 3 runs, his 9th homer, another gargantuan home run, 462 feet. And, you know, he hasn't exploded on the scene, and he hasn't, like, had this red-hot period as of yet. But I look at Eloy Jimenez, and you start to see the signs of what this guy can potentially do offensively. What has been your view of Jimenez?
He's, I think when he first came up, and he even said it, I think he had a strong desire to do really well in Chicago in particular. You know, when he's batting in front of the home fans, I think he wanted really badly to give him that monster home run when he first came up. And, you know, thankfully it finally happened here just the other night. But I think some of it was, you know, early on you noticed he was hitting better on the road than he was at home. I think because not necessarily even pressure, but just his desire to do well in front of the Chicago crowd was so strong. Now he is getting ready to really go on a tear. And so here pretty soon in the next few weeks, I think we'll really start to see just what Eloy can do. Because what he would do for that lineup, given how well Moncada has been hitting this season, how well Tim Anderson has been hitting, as Abreu continues to do what he always does, you add Jimenez to the mix. That's tremendous for that lineup, and I think he's really getting ready to do that. Now, he may not capture the attention the way that Vlad Guerrero Jr. did in Toronto, but over the course of the whole season, I think you put Eloy up against any other rookie in baseball.
Last White Sox player I want to ask you about is Reynaldo Lopez and the up and down season that it has been. Coming off a pretty decent performance, actually, against Kansas City, where it had 8 strikeouts and 1 walk, but that followed up the game where he blew the 5-run lead against Washington. And he has a 6+ ERA. And I thought, based on what he did last year, that he could have, I don't know, special season is the right word, but it seems like he's kind of taken a step back this year. Why has that been?
I think he's still in a place where some of what we saw from Giolito last season, it's not exactly the same, but there's some similarities, in my opinion, to what we're seeing from Lopez this season, where you get that up and down, where there's some flashes of really huge potential, like he did in his most recent start. But then also some outings that are just disasters. And for him, I think a lot of it is similarly. It's just he's a young guy. It's a confidence thing. Trust your stuff. Know that what you can do is special, and is better than a lot of the rest of the league. And I think as he figures that out and really learns to rely on himself, then you'll see more consistent quality starts from him. Because the potential for the duo of Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez for the White Sox is pretty huge if they can get Lopez on the right track.
Do you think it's Cease July? Is that what you're pegging?
They have been so I think at times overly patient or slow with calling these guys up.
Yeah.
I think Cease is probably... he'll be ready in July, but I think some of that honestly might depend on how much they're winning. Because believe it or not, the White Sox are not—they're not out of the wild card race, and so there may be a scenario that they're potentially chasing a wild card spot. And if so, that might give them some more incentive to call up Cease a little bit sooner. But I think they're probably going to err on the side of taking a little bit longer with him. So it might even be August or even September before we see him.
No.
Yeah, I'd like to see him sooner, but...
I have to keep asking the question. Jared, thank you for your time. We appreciate you coming on with us at this late hour. Thank you, sir.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, that's Jared Willis, Sporting News covers the Cubs and White Sox and does it well. I'm Mark Rohde here until 10 o'clock, and then Julie DeCaro will be in from 10 to 12 for her show. Just looking at, by the way, the pitching matchups for that four-game series, Cubs and the Dodgers. I told you, John Lester against Clayton Kershaw in the opener tomorrow. That just looks fancy when you stare at it here. 5-4 for Lester with a 3.56 ERA. And Kershaw this year, 5-1 with a 3 ERA. Game two, Kyle Hendricks against Rich Hill. You have Yu Darvish against Walker Buehler. And then in the final game, it will be Jose Quintana against Hyun-Jun Ryu, who has been, 9-1 with a 1.36 ERA. So, yeah, you're allowed to say it. You're allowed to say kind of a measuring stick series for the Chicago Cubs against the L.A. Dodgers, the team that you would think the Cubs would have to get through if they were going to do what they want to do this year, and that is to get into the World Series. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we will continue to talk the Cubs, White Sox, and Bears here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hayward lines one, center field, base hit. One run is in. Caratini will be held. Nope, he's going to score now. The ball bobbled in center by Desmond. Cubs lead 2-0.
Hey, Cubs 10-1 win over the Rockies today. As heard here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score of Pat Hughes on the call. That was, you know, a blowout for the Cubs today. So you got to look at the moments that actually mattered in a blowout. It wasn't the Javier Baez home run. The Javier Baez home run was really nice, but the game was over, and that was late in the game. It was 17th homer of the year. The Jason Hayward single right there made it 2-0 Cubs, and ultimately that's the game-winning hit for the Cubs. So a big hit for Jason Hayward, part of this 10-1 win over the Rockies. And by the way, the Cubs are, at the moment, tied with Milwaukee for first, and I'm just looking over at our monitors. Milwaukee and Houston, 3-3, end of seven innings in Houston. So I'll continue to monitor that game until I'm out of here at 10 o'clock tonight. But other moments that mattered in this game, Kyle Schwarber, the three-run homer in the second inning, that makes it 5-0 and makes it feel real comfortable. His 14th home run of the year, so Schwarber stays hot with the long ball, not completely swinging out of his pants. The biggest moment of this Cubs game, though, to me, was in the Rockies' first inning. The Rockies load the bases against Cole Hamels with one out. Hamels then gets Ian Desmond to ground to Baez, and Baez made a hell of a decision at that moment. Baez could flip to second and maybe try to start a double play, but Baez, we all know the poise that he has and the presence of mind that exists with him. I think he calculated that he wasn't going to be able to turn a double play there, that ultimately a run would score on the fielder's choice. Instead, Baez makes a confident throw home, and they get the force at the plate, and then Cole Hamels does the rest, getting Mark Reynolds to strike out looking. Mark Reynolds doing what he does. Yes, Mark Reynolds still plays. Mark Reynolds pops up somewhere every single year of his existence. And God bless guys like that, guys that are willing to take minor league contracts and come on up. And ultimately, you know, Mark Reynolds at some point in time in every year of his existence will help a Major League Baseball team. And, you know, he seems to wear out his welcome in terms of his play. Eventually, you don't want all those strikeouts. But Mark Reynolds is a Colorado Rocky, and a guy like that who loves to hit the ball in the park, what better place for him? But anyway, that was the key moment of the game, because that keeps it scoreless right there in the first inning, and then the Cubs immediately go to work in that second inning with Jason Hayward and the two-run single. And in as must of a win game as you could possibly talk about at this point in terms of in baseball terms, in baseball season terms, that you certainly don't want to get swept by the Colorado Rockies before you start this four-game series with the La Dodgers. I mean, it's like we're talking to Jerry Willis. I mean, like, this is going to be a tough series for the Cubs. You do have, you know, we know how good Los Angeles is, and we gave you the pitching matchups. It's going to be tough, and, you know, you would definitely would accept a split in a situation like this. Something very interesting happened before the Cubs game today, and again, I'm out at Halas Hall, and I'm following what's going on Twitter, and I'm actually, come to think of it, I was on the air from Halas Hall with Lawrence Holmes. We're talking Bears, and he has to pause on the air to talk about some Cubs news, and that was about an hour and a half before game time. Cubs and Rockies. Steve Cishek, the Cubs reliever, suffers a leg injury during pregame warmups. He's dramatically carted off the field. As it turns out, he was struck in the right leg while playing catch with his buddy Brandon Kinsler. Hit the bone like right inside the knee, and it looks like it is a contusion. In other words, a bruise. I don't even know if he was necessarily, at least it wasn't made public, that he was ruled out for today's game. He didn't pitch in today's game. That was Kyle Ryan and Brad Brock at the end for the Cubs. But, like, the last thing you want, just when here we are all talking about what could be an extraordinary bullpen once Craig Kimbrell comes, all of a sudden Steve Cishek is having a catch injury before the start of the game today. So that was an interesting moment, and when a guy is carted off, it just feels dramatic and horrible. But in this case, it wasn't as bad. Best part of the game, we gave it the key moments, but the best part of the game was Cole Hamels following up his dominant performance against the St. Louis Cardinals with a dominant performance today. In Colorado, at Coors Field, mind you, he goes 7 shutout innings, 6 hits, strikes out 9, walks 1. The ERA is under 3 now. He is 6-2 with a 2.98 ERA. And these have been two really important starts for Cole Hamels. Because before that, he had been running up his pitch count like early in games because, you know, as with really a lot of the pitchers, everybody on this staff except for Yu Darvish, all the Cubs starting pitchers are highly dependent upon the home plate umpire and home plate itself and working that home plate and getting the right calls and getting their part of the plate. And for a couple of starts, Cole Hamels had not been getting that, and he'd been nibbling and just running up his pitch count. We saw the same thing happen with John Lester on a couple of occasions, and his you know, previous start wasn't great either, Lester, but we know how dependent these Cubs pitchers are on getting their portion of the plate, and it seemed like some of the powers of Cole Hamels had been wearing down a little bit in that regard, and then all of a sudden he has these two great starts. I don't know which one you want to consider better. I mean, the start against St. Louis was awesome because he strikes out 10. It's against the Cardinals. It's at Wrigley Field. He goes 8 innings in that Friday start. But this one, man, this is a game, it's a stopper game because you don't want to get swept, obviously. And it's in Colorado at Coors Field, and we have seen that ball fly out. And you did not get good performances from Jose Quintana and Yu Darvish. I mean, yesterday with the Colorado 10-3 win, Jose Quintana goes 4 2/3, allows 4 runs. The big problem with Quintana, I mean, you could deal with 4 runs, obviously, in Coors Field or in general if you'd like, but he walked 4. You cannot do that. Cannot walk 4 guys really in that few of innings in any ballpark, let alone in Coors Field. So that's on Jose Quintana. And then Yu Darvish giving it back in his start on Monday in what was a Colorado 6-5 win over the Cubs. Can't do that either. Yu Darvish goes 6 innings, allowed 4 runs on 6 hits. Cubs score 4 in that third inning where they were just hitting the ball out of the park left and right, and then the Rockies come right back and score. So he took whatever momentum the Cubs had and just completely let it fizzle. But that is a nightmare of a ballpark in which to pitch, obviously. So Cubs and Dodgers tomorrow night. The White Sox with the weird Wednesday day off today. They will host the Yankees tomorrow night. You got an Ivan Nova, J.A. Happ game. And then Friday, it is the Lucas Giolito, CC Sabathia game, and it's fun, man. It is fun to watch Giolito pitch. the turnaround that he has had from worst ERA last year to one of the best. And at this point, at this moment, on an all-star trajectory with that 2.28 ERA. And some people say, well, he's had all these starts. You know, he's done it against Kansas City and Cleveland. He had maybe his best performance of the year against one of the best teams in baseball in their ballpark, and that was in Houston where he had the shutout. So give him a little bit of credit in regards to that. Eloy Jimenez, too, getting fun to watch that. Just the individual bat. Like I said, like I was talking with Jared Wills, he hasn't had the rampage as of yet. Like, he hasn't popped on the scene the way I think a lot of people built him up to, and he could still live up to every ounce of the potential that he has been given. But just every once in a while, watching him hit these monster blasts and showing the muscle that he has, the 462-foot blast yesterday, 2-for-3 with a couple of RBIs and 3 runs. You know, it's to me, it's like he is in the perfect place to continue progressing in his career. So that's no matter what he does this year, that is still a lot of fun to watch. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. There is one more Bears mini camp day tomorrow. One more practice tomorrow before the Bears break for camp. They get the recess, and then they will have camp starting somewhere in the July 20s. We'll find out official or when we can make that official for you. We will let you know what the Bourbonnais schedule is. But been a fun couple of days at mini camp, and of course, unfortunately, over the last couple of days, it continues to be about the kickers, Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry. Those are the two right now. They actually were very good today. They combined 4-for-5, albeit indoors because it was raining in Lake Forest today, as I'm sure it was in the city of Chicago. It's been a very spirited OTA season and mini camp season, too. A lot of guys being very aggressive out there and wanting to do this for real. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we will bring in Julie DeCaro. We will talk about her show, which will come your way tonight from 10 to 12. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If you're not going to catch the baseball, you maybe get some nachos. You never know.
Sounds good to me, man. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Regional Transportation Authority. Public transit is the backbone of a transportation system and part of what makes this region great. Whether you cheer for the baseball team on the north side or south side, whether you like tacos or sushi, everyone agrees public transportation is the best way to get you to where you are going this summer. The bottom of the hour also being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, and the Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. I am Mark Grody. I'm here with you for just a little while longer. Anthony Heron was with us earlier. Thanks to him for hanging out for a few hours and doing great work like he does, because he's Anthony Heron. And before we bring in Julie DeCaro, I want to give you something, and that is be caller 6 and join the scorer's Matt Spiegel as he broadcasts Hit and Run live from a Chicago Dogs game. It's coming up Sunday, June 3rd. 30th. Winners receive a pair of tickets to the game, a Chicago-style hot dog for lunch, and a chance to throw out the first pitch. Brought to you by the Chicago Dogs, where every day is Fan Appreciation Day. And a quick text here that I have to respond to before we go to Julie, and that is, because I feel like this person is scolding me right now, and he or she says, Mark, I asked you early, do you think Montgomery will sign before camp? And I assume that you are referring to David Montgomery. And yes, I do think that he will. I don't expect there to be any issues like there were with Roquan Smith last year. I honestly wasn't even thinking about that because I thought he'd already had. But I think we'll be fine there. And I'm sorry it took me so long to respond to your text message. All right. Now, Julie, I mean, he came back.
The text line is nice and saucy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I, no, You got me. I didn't answer the question. We are broadcasting live from the Culinary Studio. Welcome to my Culinary Studio, Julie DeCaro.
Thank you. It is an odd place to be doing a sports radio show.
Yes, and as we were talking about off the air, At first I loved it because it is a beautiful kitchen. It is a massive kitchen with a huge counter and lovely appliances and a refrigerator. There's cameras and it's like a big stage and there's TVs all over the place.
I can't believe you didn't put the chef hats on.
Oh yeah, I would have put the chef hat on, but I just decided I'd look ridiculous. And there's no
just noticed those are
that.
There.
Yeah, they're there. Yes, there's aprons. There are lemons if you'd like some freshly squeezed or squozen. Squozed lemon. You could have that. But the problem is that it is too big and that we're used to being in a smaller studio that it becomes sort of uncomfortable. And plus, we're all alone.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And the door's not locked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, be careful.
You needed Anthony to stick around and stand outside the door as my security.
True. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of traffic out there. So, hey, you be careful in here tonight.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, if someone comes to the door, I'll just pick up the lemons and start whipping them at them. It'll be in great shape.
Well, there's knives in here, too. So, you know, you have the ability to start a fire. There are spices from
giant,
the new world.
Giant pepper
yes,
cracker I can hit somebody with.
Absolutely. Yes.
I can't even get this chair close enough to the desk.
I know. It's going to take some adjusting. Right. Do you need to stick around a little bit? Do you need me to
be? No, I'm
okay.
Good. I mean, I'd love for you to stick around, but you've already been here.
Yeah, it's been a long day at Halas Hall, and then started tonight at 6 o'clock with Anthony Herron and getting out of here. But we have fun tonight. We got to talk about a Cubs much-needed 10-1 win over the Rockies, and it is good to see Cole Hamels putting together back-to-back dominant starts.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it much more than last night. Yeah, he's not allowed a run in something like 23 innings.
Yeah. I mean, he had the 8 shutout innings against the Cards in that Friday start at Wrigley Field, and then today, 7 shutout innings. Obviously, the offense was thumping my guy Kyle Schwarber with a 3-run homer and Hayward with an early 2-run single as well. But it's not been a great series. I mean, they kind of had to win today.
Well, we're going to talk tonight about their road woes and how concerned we should be.
Why are they so bad? What are they? They are 14 and 18 after winning today. And
yeah, 14 and 18.
Yeah, 14 and 18. Still plenty of time to even that out, but I guess I didn't realize until the last few days how bad that they have been
correct.
On the road as compared to what they've been at Wrigley
correct.
Field.
I didn't realize it either. But yeah, it hasn't been good. I don't know what the reason is for it. And heading into LA, maybe not the best remedy for. Although, you know, every time they're going to face LA, I say, this is going to be a real test. We're going to find out what this team is made of.
Yeah.
And every time they come out of it, okay. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're right. I don't feel good about it. I do not feel good about this series. You know, there's a lot of fun pitching matchups. You got Lester and Kershaw tomorrow, Kyle Hendricks and Rich Hill, a Yu Darvish, Walker Buehler, and then you have Jose Quintana against Hyun-Jun Ryu. But I don't know. It's obviously not going to crush their season or anything like that, but I just don't have a good Los Angeles feeling for the Cubs over the next 4 days. Talk me down.
I can't. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I would love to. Look, I mean, I get real nervous when Lester is saying things like even standing on the mound feels wrong.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really seem like he's quite come back from that yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I hate facing Kershaw anyway. I just hate facing the Dodgers in general.
Yeah, and that there's something about that ballpark. And I could tell you from being on the Cubs tour for 3 years that when you go, like, I never really understood it, like as a kid, and then when I wasn't, like, traveling with the team, I didn't really get the whole, like, why you should be affected when you go out to the West Coast and things like that. But there's a lot of things. I mean, that time change thing, it is real.
Because when you're a kid, you can bounce back from anything.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, my kids, like, still, I put my hands on their shoulders and they're just, like, vibrating with energy. I don't ever remember having that much energy.
What do they have, Jolt? Do you put Jolt in your
no,
kids?
No, I mean.
Jolt? All the
caffeine and twice
the
remember
sugar?
Jolt, yes. I was never allowed to have it.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was not in the Grody household
no,
either.
No, no. I saw it in stores and looked at it wistfully and wondered what it was like, but I never actually got to have it.
With all your magical sugar
yes,
and caffeine.
Right. Oh, what are the kids that get to have Jolt like?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I started to understand
the two-hour time difference thing. And then there's the part where, darn it, you're in a really cool place like Los Angeles. I'm like, there's things to do.
La Brea Tar Pits?
Yeah, the what?
Oh, the La Brea Tar Pits.
I don't know anything about
that. The coolest thing in Los Angeles.
The tar pits?
Yes, they're like prehistoric animals stuck in the tar pits.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, it's right next to like Paramount or Fox Studios.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like you're trooling around like downtown Los Angeles, and it's like, oh, there's Fox, there's Paramount. Oh, hey, here's a prehistoric tar pit museum.
So there's like dinosaurs.
Yes,
in the,
well, they're not
so
like
cool.
Dinosaurs. They're like mammoths, dire wolves, which are real, which I had no idea.
Ooh, I thought that was like
giant sloth. Stuff like that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea. I love that kind of stuff.
Gotta check it out.
Like, I love prehistoric and dinosaur. Like, last year when I went to, it was Denver. The Bears, remember the Bears practiced for a week in Denver?
Yeah, yeah.
Last year. So, got to hang out there, and it was me and the Sun-Timesman, Patrick Finley, and then Adam Johns, who's now with The Athletic. The three of us got in a car and did a little bit of hiking, but we found like an area where they have dinosaur prints.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
That's preserved.
Right.
Oh, and it was so cool.
So the La Brea Tar Pits are like these, just right in the middle of downtown Los Angeles, just these huge tar pits, and there's all these animals stuck in there, like saber-toothed tigers and stuff, and they just start pulling them out in like, I don't know, the 20s or something. And there's a huge museum there. It's really cool. It's still bubbling. It's like still.
Oh,
you would,
really?
Yes, you'd fall in it today and get stuck and die.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
but here's the thing about Los Angeles. So I go out to LA. I'm like, I'm going to go do a Dodgers game. I'm going to sit in the all you can eat section. I'm going to have the whole like Dodger Stadium experience.
Dodger dog.
It is $6 for my ticket to sit in the all you can eat section on StubHub. It is $117 an Uber to get out to Chavez Ravine.
Yes.
This is the problem with Dodger games.
Oh, those were the absolute worst. That was the one, like, even having the fortune to be on like the team bus and stuff, we were still stuck in that ridiculous, awful traffic. So, and it's the loudest ballpark too. Not because of the fans, but because they jack up the sound system out there, and it's just so, it's like, it's annoyingly, I know I sound like an old guy right now, but it was like this. The acoustics are annoying. Unless you're a Dodgers fan, then I'm sure that you're very happy.
Probably.
With it. Did you have a Dodgers dog when you were out there?
I did not.
Not good.
No.
They're not good.
No, they don't seem good.
Yeah, they're.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, Dodgers dogs, they're very overrated, and I realize that people are probably going to come undone when I say that, but yeah, just not particularly good.
Just Dodgers people. They're not listening to this show.
No, they're not. That's well, you know, there's going to be somebody.
Hey, yeah. By the way, to the guy who asked if I could be sick tonight, too bad for you. I'm already here. 630 texter.
Yeah, she's going to
go
be here.
Kick rocks.
Right, and Julie's going to be here until midnight. Damn it! And she's going to be
here,
telling you
in
why.
The kitchen.
Yeah, she's going to be in the kitchen. That's
watching.
Right. Make me chicken pot pie, Julie. Oh, this is just
move absolutely. This man.
It's just, it's super weird to not be able to see your producers. Like, yeah, I don't know.
You are visibly uncomfortable.
I am.
Right now.
And also, I didn't know the studio had been completely demolished.
Oh, my God. So you don't know where you are.
I walked in and I was like, I mean, even Herb pushed a picture of it on Instagram today, and I still wasn't ready for it.
Oh, it's so odd. Like, I'm walking around the hallways, and I got lost because I didn't understand where I was, because usually you see things. Like,
it was the wrong time to take a drink.
Yeah. Did you miss my face that much, Julie?
What was that, Chris?
I asked if Julie missed my face that much.
I do. Said. I miss it terribly. I'm going to get a picture of you and stick it on the other side of the monitor so that I feel like I'm looking at you.
We can make that happen.
Yeah.
Good talk, Chris.
So Mark,
good
when
talk.
Mark, I just took a huge drink of water, and Mark said he almost got lost. I almost spit it all over the keyboards.
No, I'm not even kidding. I walked out of the bathroom, and I didn't know which way to go, and I got scared.
At least you can get to the bathroom.
Yeah, like, that's true. Where do you go exactly?
Well, we have now. I figured out the shortcut, but I have to sneak through because I don't have a hard hat on. So I like sneak through to go to the bathroom, and I sneak back out.
I think it was Julio. Julio told me that there's a sneak entrance into the studio that you can go down one way where they're doing all the construction for people listening that we're not supposed to go down. Well, Julio, he found a way that you could do it, and you know, it saves you at least 10 seconds.
Look,
so
I'm just glad I don't have to go up to 11 to use the bathroom anymore. That was, I mean, so there was no way to do that during a show. So you had to make sure you were like completely dehydrated when the show started. That way you didn't have to go to the bathroom up to 11 for the entire thing. But yeah, it is kind of crazy to watch this place. I mean, your studio becomes sort of like your living room. You're in there so much, you get really comfortable. And then to watch the whole thing torn apart.
Right.
I walked in and I made a noise like, ah!
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is bizarre. And it was, we knew this was going to happen. I remember Mitch like sending out a company email that telling us, but that you'd never really think it's going to happen.
No.
Maybe it's not going to happen on your watch. And then here we are broadcasting live from a culinary kitchen. Yep. That's where we are.
So I'm going to put the chef's hat on for my show.
Yeah, you should. Actually,
I'm going to be cooking up some good sports talk for everybody.
Let's do that. Like I am going to do an Instagram video of you with the chef's hat on.
Okay.
And you want to put the apron on for good measure?
No.
Okay.
Are those bottles of wine have anything in them? Do we know? Are they for decoration?
This place is stocked. Like I said, it was spices from the New World and
Heineken.
There's Heineken in the fridge. So you're gonna figure out why the Cubs are bad on the road, and why the Cubs will win this series against LA.
I don't know if we're gonna figure it out as much as we're gonna complain about it.
Oh, good.
I feel like we've made some progress, and then we'll move on to something else.
Okay, great. what? Anything else? Any guests on the show?
Tony Andracki is gonna be on to talk Cubs. Scott Merkin will be here to talk White Sox. We're gonna talk about the U.S. women's soccer team too, and all the fallout from that, which is ridiculous.
Yes. I'm not going to lie to you. When I was watching that and it's 13 to nothing, I'm thinking, oh man, gluttonous USA. Everybody's going to hate us. Then I saw your tweets and explaining to me, educating me that goal differential means something.
It does.
It means something. Goals is
because
good.
Sweden very well could score 14
okay.
on them.
Okay.
And so it matters.
All right. Once I saw that, I was like, cool. I don't feel bad about my country now.
And all my tweets start like, look, Mark.
And then, I know you're out of there at Hallis Hall being snarky with the rest of the
Bears. Let me hand this to you.
Yeah. Julie, I hope you make it through tonight. Call me.
Thank
text
you.
Me if there's any problems here in the culinary studio. I live close. I'll come down. But have a great show. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, for texting, for calling. Thanks to Jared Willis. Thanks to Patrick Finley. I will talk to you from Hallis Hall tomorrow on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Later, Jules.
See you later, Mark.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.